We are super excited because today's episode is sponsored by BarkBox.
As most of you guys know, my dog Mackie loves his chew toys, but they do not last very long in our house. And that's why we love our subscription service, BarkBox.
BarkBox is a monthly subscription box that offers an array of themed boxes for your pup. Inside your box, you'll find toys, treats, and unleash joy, thoughtfully designed to satisfy every dog's unique playstyle.
BarkBox has several boxes to choose from, depending on your dog's needs, such as the Super Chewer box, which was designed to challenge and engage your pup for longer-lasting play. And that's what we need for Mackie.
Right now, you can get a free extra month of BarkBox, which is up to a $35 value, by using our link www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod.
So treat your dog to what they love with BarkBox. www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod for a extra free month of BarkBox. What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. All right, so I think we're just going to dive right into this. We don't really have any updates because we're actually on top of our shit for once and are recording early.
Yes.
So,
and I have no idea what your case is, so I'm excited to hear. Well,
yeah, you know.
I am excited to hear about it because it'll be a surprise.
Yes. Yeah, so we're just going to go right into it.
Okay.
So today we are going to be talking about the mysterious disappearance of Amy Lynn Bradley from a cruise in the Caribbean in 1998.
Ooh. Yeah. I think I know this one, but I'm not sure.
So Crime Junkie covered this in like 2019.
Okay.
But it's a really old case. Like, it happened in 1998 and there really hasn't been any like big movement in it since 2005. So...
wow.
You might like recognize it. I didn't know what name it was, but I've heard this story before and I knew I wanted to cover it. So I Google searched like disappearance from cruise ship because I couldn't think of her name and I finally figured it out. And now I will never, ever forget her name.
It's so scary. I love cruises, but that's always like, ugh, fear, you know, in the back of your mind.
I've never been on a cruise and like, I've always wanted to go on one, but they also kind of freak me out. And honestly, after like researching for this case, I'm like,
no,
maybe I don't want to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
But
they are super fun, though.
Yeah, they look like a lot of fun. I want to go on one of those Disney cruises when I have kids.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe that'll be the cruise I go on. Okay. So Amy Lynn Bradley was born on May 12th, 1974 to Ron and Iva Bradley. She was born in Petersburg, Virginia, and she had one younger brother named Brad. Amy was really athletic growing up, and she actually went to college in Virginia on a basketball scholarship, and she graduated with a degree in physical education.
Wow.
I know. In 1998, she was 23 years old, and she was going to be starting a new job at a computer consulting firm. But before that, she was going to go on a trip with her family to celebrate, you know, her graduation and her... you know, kind of just like go and celebrate with the family before the start of like her new life.
Right.
And her brother was 21 years old at this time. So he was also kind of, you know, getting into his adult life. So they just wanted to take one family vacation together.
Okay. I think I'm remembering this now.
Yeah. So Amy was actually nervous about going on the cruise, like kind of saying that she was just freaked out about being on a ship in the open ocean.
That's rational. I mean, it is.
Yeah. And she actually was a really good swimmer. She was a swimmer in high school and she was a trained lifeguard. So it wasn't that she was like afraid of the water. She just wasn't super excited about like being on the open ocean, on a boat. Like that just kind of freaked her out.
You kind of don't even realize. It just feels like you're in like this huge resort though.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
What I've
like
heard.
When you're on the ship. Like you don't know. Until you see it, then you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I feel like I couldn't, like, look out of one of the windows that are, like, down on, like, the lower decks. That was, like, I'd be like, nope, I'm done.
Nope, bye.
Yeah. But either way, she wasn't super excited, but her brother really was excited and pushed Amy to go with her family, and she kind of reluctantly agreed.
Oh,
I know.
That's sad. He probably feels bad.
Yeah. On March 21st, 1998, Amy, along with her parents and her brother Brad, took off on a week-long cruise in the Caribbean. So the family boarded the Rhapsody of the Seas, which was a Royal Caribbean international cruise ship, and they were en route to Curaçao, which is a Dutch island in the Caribbean. There were about 2,000 passengers aboard this cruise, and the ship was just, like, massive. I mean, most cruise ships are, but it was a really, really big one. I'll post a photo of it on our Instagram so you can kind of, like, get an idea how large it was. But it was a big one. There were a lot of people on board, a lot of crew.
Yeah.
And Amy was staying in a large suite with her brother and her parents, and she actually began having a really good time. Like, despite this initial hesitation, once she got on board, she was really enjoying it. So the family was having a wonderful trip, and on the second night, which was March 23rd, they got dressed up for a fancy dinner. They went down to the dinner, a professional photographer took photos of the family, and this is actually the last still photograph of Amy that was ever taken.
Mm-hmm.
After their dinner, the family went back to their room, got changed, and then they went up to the upper deck of the ship for a party. I've seen some reports that it was like a Mardi Gras party, but I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, there's like parties every night on the ship.
So. There's so much to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So the family was having a blast, and then around 1 a.m., Ron and Iva turned in for the night, and Amy and Brad kind of followed the young crowd down to the ship's nightclub, and they began hanging out with other passengers along with some crew members. And according to Amy's brother, they were, like, both down there, but they weren't really, you know, hanging out together.
Yeah.
And he said that Amy was specifically hanging out with a member of the ship's band, which was called Blue Orchid. Orchid. At least I realized.
Yeah.
So this man was named Alistair Douglas, but he was better known as Yellow. So they were hanging out, drinking, and then the ship's computerized door lock system showed that Brad returned to their suite at 3:35 a.m., leaving Amy back in the dance club. And then about 5 minutes after that, Amy arrived back in their suite. So it was only about 5 minutes between when Brad got back and when Amy got back.
Yeah. Don't leave your people behind.
Yeah.
Even if it's for 5 minutes.
I agree. So Brad said that he and his sister sat on the suite's balcony and talked before he turned into the night for the night. He said that Amy decided to stay outside in the fresh air, and he last saw her sitting in a lounge chair on the balcony. Now, sometime in the early morning hours, some reports say it was sometime between 5:15 and 5:30, but it was, you know, some point in the early morning before the sun came out, Amy's father, Ron, woke up, and he actually saw Amy still sleeping on the lounge chair on the balcony. So he saw this, and he's like, okay, good, the kids made it home, and he fell back asleep. Not long after that, at around 6 a.m., he woke up again and he looked back out onto the balcony to find that Amy wasn't there. So he went and checked the kids' room to check on her, but right. Amy was gone along with her lighter and her cigarettes.
Okay.
So the glass door that led to the balcony was partially open, and all of Amy's shoes along with her ID were found inside the suite. So it didn't seem like she had necessarily taken off, but also just because her shoes are there doesn't necessarily mean, like,
yeah,
she could have been walking around without shoes on,
for sure, especially if you're, like, you know, a little
intoxicated. Yeah. So Ron decided to go look around for Amy, thinking maybe she had left the room to get some fresh air or take some pictures, and he was walking around this ginormous ship looking for Amy.
Wow.
And he probably kind of started feeling a little bit worried. And eventually he ran into the ship's head of security, and at that point he alerted the head of security that Amy was missing.
Okay.
So, you know, like, it may seem like that's a little bit early because you're walking around this giant ship, you haven't been back to the room, so, like, you don't really know for sure that she's missing, but he just had a bad feeling, and he was like, nope, I'm telling the head of security that she's missing.
Were they docked yet, or were they still in the open water? Are you going to get to that?
You're reading my mind.
Sorry,
yeah, literally
sorry.
my next bullet. No, it's fine.
I always do that.
No, it's good. what's the word? Oh my god, I can't think.
Future telling? No, I'm just kidding.
Segue. That's what, yeah, I was looking for, yeah. So right around this time, the boat was about to dock in Curaçao's port. So they were like overnight, I think they were on the way to Curaçao, and they were getting really close to docking in this this time frame.
Okay.
And in Curaçao, a bunch of guests would be leaving for an excursion in the morning. So I think that's kind of how like cruises go, but
yeah,
it seemed like Curaçao was a big destination where a lot of people were going to be getting off.
Okay.
So Ron returned back to the family's room and woke his wife up, and she said he was kind of he was in a very panicked state.
Yeah.
So they looked around together some more, and then they went to the crew asking them to make an announcement, you know, to Amy, about Amy, because, you know, maybe she's just in a different part of the boat. They haven't been able to find her, so they wanted to make an announcement.
Right.
But ship officials refused to do so, claiming they did not want to panic the other passengers.
Which, like, I feel like you could definitely make an announcement like, hey, Amy, can you come to guest services?
Exactly.
Your dad is waiting for you. Yeah. Not like, Amy, are you missing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you definitely could do it without worrying other passengers. But,
yeah,
you know, they didn't want to. And Amy's family was begging the staff to keep the ship on the water until they located their daughter, because they knew as soon as they docked, people would be getting off the ship.
Yeah.
And they were afraid that a potential kidnapper could leave with Amy.
Which is a big possibility. I mean, you didn't hear about sex trafficking as much back then, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah. And so they were begging the crew to do this, but they denied the request to do it. And they docked in Curaçao and allowed passengers to disembark.
Wow.
So once they did, ship officials began searching for Amy on the ship, but they found no sign of her. At this point, according to, you know, the crew on the ship, the security on the ship, a full search of the ship had been done and found no sign of Amy. So the ship's crew basically told the Bradley family, you can either stay on the ship or you can get off and search in Curaçao, but we can't stay here in Curaçao any longer than, like, we were already planning to.
Right.
And they're like, we searched the whole ship, so she's not on here. If you want to stay in Curaçao, you're welcome to get off, but otherwise, we're leaving.
Wow.
So the Bradley family decided to, you know, believe that the crew had searched the ship, like they said, and they chose to stay in Curaçao to search for Amy because they thought, you know, she had gotten off the ship.
Yeah, she wasn't on the ship, which I feel like, how could they have searched the whole ship? There's just, like, no freaking way, but, you know, where else would she be?
Exactly. So the Bradley family went to the local American embassy in Curaçao, and they were wanting to, you know, get a search started in the water. The Netherlands Coast Guard brought in helicopters and boats and did a search of the path of the ship, but they found no sign of Amy. It should also be noted that the ship was so close to the shore when Amy went missing that if she had, like, fallen into the water... And she was a good swimmer, even intoxicated. Like, somebody probably would have heard or seen it.
Right.
And she probably would have been able to, like, swim to shore.
Right. And if for some reason she was, like, knocked unconscious or something, she would still be there.
She would be found. Exactly.
Yeah.
So according to some reports, the Royal Caribbean also chartered a boat to search the area, and that also ended, like, a couple days later with no sign of Amy.
Wow.
So the FBI was brought in to assist in the case, and they discovered that a thorough search of the ship wasn't actually done before the Bradley family disembarked.
Imagine that.
Right. So apparently security had only really searched the common areas and the bathrooms, but they didn't, you know, search any guest rooms or really any other, like, areas of the ship.
Okay.
So because of this, the Bradleys decided that they needed to get back on the ship, so they flew to St. Thomas, another island, to meet the ship at its next scheduled stop.
Wow.
They also met the FBI there, and together they all got onto the ship. The FBI's search and investigation did lead to a few more clues about what Amy's last night on the ship looked like.
Okay.
So they found out that a man who was actually filming a promotional video for the ship, he had footage of Amy during that night. So he came forward to say that he saw Amy in the nightclub, and in the footage he was filming, he captured Amy dancing along with Alistair Douglas, a.k.a. Yellow.
Yeah.
Yep. So he handed this footage over to the ship's security, and they reviewed it and then asked him for, like, the original footage. And he was like, no, I'm not going to give you guys the security on a cruise ship my, like, original footage. Like, you have a copy of it.
Oh.
And then I guess the security was like, well, the FBI wants it. And then this guy was like, okay, great. Have them contact me.
Yeah.
But they never contacted him.
That's suspicious.
Yeah. A year later, the man saw Amy's story on TV and realized that his footage from that night was never, like, being shared. And he actually reached out to the family and learned that they had never been given the footage from the ship's security.
Wow.
So the FBI did get this footage, but they weren't the ones asking for the original tape of it. So this made a lot of people wonder if the Royal Caribbean cruise line was kind of trying to cover the tape up.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't show anything bad happening, but it did show Amy continually dancing with a crew member that night.
Yeah, one of their own.
Yeah. So then, like, trying to get the original copy and then claiming it was for the FBI, but then the FBI never contacting the man for the original made a lot of people suspicious.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's like a red flag to me.
Yeah, 100%. So either way, though, the tape did lead the FBI to focus a bit more on Yellow. Throughout the night, on the tape, he could be seen getting closer and closer with Amy, and they were last seen together around 3 a.m. And the last footage of Amy captured on that tape was around 3:35 a.m., and she was standing near the elevator, like, waiting for it to come and kind of dancing around. So this was the last footage of her, and this was right at the same time that Brad returned to the room and about 5 minutes before Amy returned.
And she was alone in that footage.
She was alone in that footage.
Okay.
So the FBI actually brought Yellow in for questioning, and when they did, his story was not lining up. So he claimed that he last saw Amy at 1 a.m. when he left the club and went back to his room. But there is literally evidence from that tape showing
we have video surveillance.
Yeah. He was still dancing with Amy. So that was like a, you know, the FBI was like, I don't know.
Why are you lying? Yeah. That's so, yeah, just tell the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And leave out the parts if you did something, I guess. But, wow.
And so once the FBI started looking more into Yellow, Brad, Amy's brother, remembered an encounter that he had with Yellow the morning after Amy disappeared. So apparently this was shortly after it was discovered that she was missing, like very shortly after. Brad was sitting at a table on the deck when Yellow came up to him and said something along the lines of, "Sorry to hear about your sister." And at the time, Brad didn't really think much of it. But now that he was like, the FBI is, you know, looking into Yellow more, he remembered this and he did think it was odd. So not only is this like before we know where Amy is or what happened to her.
Right.
But this was so early in the morning before any announcements had been made about Amy. And Yellow later claimed that, like, he knew something had happened to her because another staff member had woken him up at 6 a.m. to ask if he knew where Amy was, since he was with her the night before.
Okay.
But at 6 a.m., the only person who knew that Amy was missing was her dad, Ron. Like, not even her mom and her brother yet.
Okay.
So it's very unlikely that any staff knew about it that early. And security didn't begin, like, asking crew members about Amy until 7:30 or 8. So, like,
why even say that? Yeah, like, you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
You just gave yourself up, Yellow.
Yep. So, to put even more suspicion on Yellow, two girls told the family that they had seen Amy and Yellow together at around 5:45 a.m. that morning. And they said that the two were getting off an elevator and going back into the nightclub, where Yellow gave Amy a dark drink that the girls suspected to be Coke or coffee.
Which would line up with when her dad went to sleep and she was gone.
Yep. So one other weird thing that was discovered by the FBI. So, you know, I mentioned that the family had gotten those professional photos taken that night at dinner.
Yeah.
So those had been like printed out, you know, like they normally are at things like this. And when the family went to get them, every single photo that had Amy in it was gone.
Okay, people, like, what are you doing? You're being a little too obvious.
I know, right? The photographer distinctly remembers printing out all the photos and that Amy was in some of them. So someone had to have come in and taken them. But the FBI has never been able to determine who did that.
Right. Wow. It makes me wonder if, like, someone was in the background, like, you know, stalking her or something, you know? Or, like, why would you do that? Like,
yeah. So the FBI interviewed Yellow and other people on the ship. And between Yellow lying about, you know, the timeline on when he last saw Amy, the weird interaction he had with Brad, and the account from those passengers, people definitely became very suspicious of him. But unfortunately, there was no actual evidence that they could find to link him to any wrongdoing.
So they never had, like, never found footage of them together at that 5:45 hour?
No, because I don't think there were, like, necessarily security cameras on the ship, because this was 1998, and all the other footage was just from, like, that guy filming the promotional video.
Gotcha.
And he was done by that point.
Okay.
So, eventually, the ship docked, and the cruise was over, so all of the potential witnesses and suspects dispersed back to their lives, and there was no sign of Amy found in the water, on the ship, anywhere, and no evidence of foul play was ever found on board the ship or in Curaçao.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So a theory that the family believed at this point was that Amy may have been kidnapped or, like, taken from the ship, and they're not sure if Amy went ashore of, you know, of her own will and then vanished while there, or if someone took her off the ship. Amy's family believes that she may have been coerced by an unknown person that she met while on the cruise, and that that person abducted her.
Yeah.
They do not believe at all that she ran off on her own volition. She was planning a whole life back in Virginia with a new job, a new home, and a dog that she would never abandon.
Right. It sounds like someone capitalized on an opportunity and she was possibly trafficked or something along those lines.
Yeah, and right along with that, at the time of her disappearance, there were actually rumors of pirates operating out of Curaçao where the ship docked.
Yeah.
So her family, like, with all of this, started to believe that Amy may have been a part of a human trafficking scheme.
Yep.
They believe that someone on the ship's crew targeted Amy, and that could explain why the photos were taken.
Yep.
And there's also reports of, or, like, the family remembers that certain crew members, and I don't think they remember exactly who, but crew members were taking photos of Amy, like, throughout the couple of days at the beginning of the cruise, and that they were just showering her with attention.
That's weird.
Yeah. So that's kind of why they believe that somebody
was targeted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Amy has never been found, and whatever happened to her that day has never been discovered.
That's awful.
There have been many sightings of Amy over the years. Apparently, on March 24th, the, like, you know, day she disappeared.
Yeah.
A cab driver on Curaçao said that a woman matching Amy's description approached him and told him that she urgently needed a phone. So this hasn't been confirmed. Oh. And at the time, he didn't, like, think anything of it. Mm-hmm. But that was just one report. In August 1998, about 5 months after Amy disappeared, two Canadian tourists in Curaçao reported seeing a woman matching Amy's description. So they reported that the woman's tattoos were identical to Amy's, and one of these men actually said that he was, quote, just 2 feet away from her, and he said that sure it was Amy. They actually didn't call this in right away because they didn't know anything was wrong. They, you know, hadn't heard about it.
Thanks, cruise people.
Exactly. But in May 1999, Amy's story was featured on America's Most Wanted. So this man apparently saw that and was like, oh shit, I saw that girl. So he called in a tip. Oh. And not only did he say that he saw two men walking with Amy along the beach, but he was able to correctly describe Amy's tattoos to investigators, and she has multiple tattoos, so it's not like it's just one random one.
Right.
You know, he was able to correctly describe these, so.
Wow. A year later, though.
Yeah.
I hate
that.
So
this was the most credible lead that they had gotten in the case, so the FBI sent a team in to canvass the area, but it was too long after, you know, when the tip was called in, because people just didn't know about this, and they weren't able to find anything.
Yep, she could be anywhere at that point.
Yeah. In January 1999, a U.S. Navy officer reported seeing Amy in a brothel in Curacao. So he claims that a woman came up to him after she saw that he was speaking English, and she identified herself by name, asking for help. So he claims that she told her, or she told him her name was Amy Bradley, and that she was being held against her will. She told him that she wasn't allowed to leave, and then before he could really do anything, some men came and took her away. And he actually didn't report it at the time either, because he was in the Navy and he was afraid that he'd get in trouble for being in a brothel. So he didn't report it. I know.
You know, why would you get in trouble? You're in another country, like...
Yeah.
We know what goes on. We're not dumb.
Yeah. But he didn't report it. And then in 2002, after he had returned to the States and was retired, he saw Amy's photo and story in a magazine, and he realized that that was the girl that he had an encounter with, so he contacted authorities and the family. But by that time, the brothel had burnt down, and the lead
again,
went nowhere.
Too little, too late. Yeah. If you see something, say something.
Yep.
Like, stop worrying about your own ass. Someone's missing.
Yeah. All right. In the fall of 1999, the family got conned, and this is just heartbreaking. And I'm telling you up front that it was a con, because I don't want to, like, lead you on.
Okay.
But I wanted to include it because it's part of the story.
This happens way too much to these families. And, yeah, like, shame on every single fucking person who does this to a family.
I know. This man was disgusting. So his name is Frank Jones, and he emailed the Bradleys in the fall of 99, and he said that he was a former U.S. Army Special Forces officer who had a team of ex-Army Rangers and ex-Navy SEALs that could help rescue Amy.
Oh.
So he claimed that he specialized in cases like this, you know, rescuing people from situations like this, and he claimed that he determined that Amy was alive and living in Curacao. He said that she had been seen on a beach with some men, and that fit along with what the Canadian tourists had seen. So Jones told the Bradleys that he could, you know, put together a team to help get Amy out, but that he needed $24,000 to get this moving. So the family raised the money, and after a few months, Jones came back to the family and said that they had made contact with the men holding Amy. He said that the men holding her were demanding a ransom, but they weren't going to mess with, you know, they weren't going to do a ransom, so he could do a recovery operation and get Amy out instead, but that this would cost about $100,000.
Oh my gosh.
So the Bradleys were smart, and they asked for proof of life before paying Jones. And they did receive a photo of a woman on the beach in Curacao. You can't see her face, but you can see that she has the same tattoos as Amy. So I'm not sure where this photo came from.
Photoshop.
Yeah. So
that's so messed up.
Yeah. So they, after this, they believed that to be Amy, and they sent Jones the money. And he basically told them, okay, I'm going to go in. We need you down in Miami, ready to take Amy as soon as I call you. So he described to them how dangerous this operation was and that they needed to basically be prepared to, like, fly her out of there as soon as he got her. So the Bradleys prepared to go get their daughter. They even packed a bag for her and made doctor appointments for her when she would get home.
That is so sad.
I know. They flew down to Miami and waited in their hotel for the call from Jones. But a week passed and the call never came. Eventually, they did receive a call, and Jones told them that there had been a gunfight that had broken out when they were trying to get Amy and that they had to abort the mission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So obviously the Bradleys were devastated, and they began packing up their bags to head back to Virginia. And before they left, a man that they had never spoken to before called their hotel and gave them some bad news. He said that he was working with Frank Jones and that he had overheard Jones telling them all of these things that he had been claiming to do. And he said that they hadn't done any of that, that it was all fake.
Well, good for him.
I know, right?
Good Samaritan.
This man basically told them that he believed Jones was just using the money to, like, live life on the island of Curaçao and that they had been conned. Thankfully, Frank Jones pleaded guilty to fraud a few years later, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison and ordered to repay the money.
Good.
But after this, the family was just so heartbroken because they were so hopeful. They truly believed that they were going to get their daughter back, and they didn't get another solid lead for years. In 2005, a woman named Judy Marrer saw a woman matching Amy's description in a department store restroom in Barbados. So for reference, Barbados is another Caribbean island. It's not right next to Curaçao. Like, it's not super, super close, but it's not like it's far away. It's in the same vicinity.
Okay.
So the woman, Judy, said that this woman was there with three men who followed her into the restroom and threatened her if she did not follow through on a deal. Judy claimed that after the men left, she approached the woman, who then said her name was Amy and that she was from Virginia. But then the men re-entered the restroom and took the woman away. So Judy called authorities immediately, and they were able to develop composite sketches of all four of the people, Amy, or the woman, and the three men.
Okay.
But again, these didn't lead anywhere. Mm. Later in 2005, what I would say was, like, probably one of the biggest leads in this case came forward. Photos from an online advertisement for sex workers in the Caribbean were sent to the Bradley family, and there was a woman who was identified as Jazz that resembles Amy a ton. So she was said to be an employed sex worker in the Caribbean.
Okay.
And the FBI has actually said that they believe that this woman is Amy.
Wow.
One FBI specialist even said that he'd bet his career that that photo was of Amy.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll post a comparison photo for you guys to see, because I'm definitely convinced it's her. Like, her facial structure looks the same. She obviously looks older because it had been years. Yeah, do it. Like, I'm convinced that it's her, because it really does. It's not just like, oh, she has the same eyes and hair color. Like, her whole facial structure looks similar.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it look like her?
Yeah. It kind of, I mean, it looks like a, yeah, like you said, like, she definitely looks older. And, like, her hair's longer and, like, all that stuff. But I could definitely see it.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, it had been 7 years, and she'd probably been through a lot of shit, so she's definitely going to look different. But I just feel like her jawline and, like, her cheekbones, they look so similar.
Yeah, I agree.
So the FBI truly believes that this was Amy, but despite that, they weren't able to ever trace this photo and locate the woman in the photo because, you know, these types of operations, they know what they're doing, and the FBI wasn't able to trace it. So other than that, there's pretty much been no movement on this case. No solid leads have come in since that 2005 photo, but it's still very possible that she's out there and she could be rescued. Like, just because it's been so many years, especially, I mean, I'm sure she's been through some awful shit, but if she was part of a sex trafficking operation and got sold into that, she could still be alive, and she could still be found.
Exactly. Because she was, what, 25? 24?
23. So she'd now be 48.
Yeah. Wow. That's awful.
There are still some people that believe she may have fallen over the balcony, you know, either accidentally or somebody pushed her, but a lot more people tend to believe that she was taken either from the ship or from the island.
Yeah, that sounds more probable. Just because they were so close to shore and they did search for her.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way she would have gone in the water and they wouldn't have found her.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely. I mean, it's a possibility, but a small one, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that she had been targeted and was drugged by Yellow that morning. You know how he, you know,
gave her that mysterious drink. Yep.
Yep.
That's what I think.
That's what I think too, and that's what a lot of people think. But there's never been any proof to prove that true or false.
Right. Yep.
On March 24th, 2010, 12 years after Amy disappeared, she was legally declared dead. But that doesn't mean that her family has stopped looking for her. No. And like I just said, you may never know. That's why I wanted to share this story, on top of it being one that's always intrigued me. But just, you could be somewhere in Curacao, another Caribbean island, or honestly anywhere, and see Amy. And right. If you didn't know this story, you wouldn't know. But it's very possible. I'm sure people see her all the time. And the more people that know this story, the more likely... you know, she'll able to be rescued.
Yeah.
So as I said, Amy would now be 48 years old. At the time she disappeared, she was 5'7", 120 pounds, with short brown hair and green eyes. Amy has a navel ring, along with multiple ear piercings and multiple tattoos. So those tattoos include a Tasmanian devil on her left shoulder, a green and blue gecko lizard around her navel, a Chinese symbol on her right ankle, and a primitive Japanese sun on her lower back.
Okay.
There is still a $250,000 reward offered by the Bradley family for information leading to Amy's return, and a $50,000 reward for information leading to her verifiable location. On top of that, the FBI is offering a $25,000 reward for information leading to Amy's discovery. So if you have any information regarding the disappearance of Amy Lynn Bradley, you can contact the FBI at 202-324-3000 or the We Help the Missing tip line at 866-660-4025. And I will put those in the show notes along with all the other information you need to know. But that's all I have for you guys today.
And don't be a shitbag. And don't scam families who have missing loved ones.
Yeah.
That's our public service announcement for this.
Yeah. It's just like, do you really think you're not going to get caught if you do shit like that?
It's so gross. It's so gross. If you want to be like a con artist, there's lots of other ways that you can con people out of their money.
Yeah. Don't do that. No, it's disgusting.
Don't do any of it, but especially don't do that.
Yeah. So please, please, please go check out the photos of Amy on our Instagram. And I'll also post them on our Facebook, because you just never know, especially if you've been to like the Caribbean islands in the last like 25 years, even if it's a lead that could be ages old, still you never know where it could lead. So see something, say something, and that's what I'll leave you guys with for now. We will see you again on Thursday. And until then, keep it human.
Bye.
Bye.